Hello, my imaginary friends. SM2N here. It's Thursday, the 25th of September, 2014. This is my audio blog on Audio Boo or Audio Boom, as it's now called. A subject very close to my heart is change. It's something that I'm very, very interested in my job, so therefore I spend a fair bit of time thinking about it. And what we have with the Audio Boo to Audio Boom transition, the transition from the version 3 app to the version 4 app, with the huge overhaul that that has, these are all changes, and change is necessary. I understand that change is not always popular. There'll usually be people that grumble that changes have happened just because it's changed, and there'll also be potentially negative consequences of those changes, just the process of change, and they're to do with quality control. But it's necessary. So, let me just talk quickly about the brand. So, call it Audio Boo, call it Audio Boom. I don't think it matters that much to me. I understand that there are commercial reasons why they wanted to change the name from Audio Boo, and so therefore they've had to do that. I understand that, and that's a business thing. I might poke fun at the fact that they didn't even manage to get the Twitter name for their new brand when they were selecting their new brand. I mean, I made this point 5 months ago. I think I was the first person to bring it into the Audio Boo community that there was a change ahead with them rebranding themselves from Audio Boo to Audio Boom. But I picked that up off Twitter from a news article, and I shared that with the Audio Boo community, and we talked about it quite a lot then, as Phil Daylight Gambler mentioned that he had to repeat himself because of the stuff he was talking about with the business model. Very clever stuff, that, actually. The business model, the embedded... I'm going off a tangent. Phil mentioned in one of his very recent boos that he did this experiment where he embedded the Audio Boo embed code into a web page and had it so that it loaded up the boo in the background and never played it, never made it visible to the user, but it counted as a play. And therefore he's able to generate thousands of plays for boos that nobody's ever listened to. And therefore how you can game the system. Warning to anybody who uses any of Phil's websites. If you're wondering where all your download quota is being consumed, it may well be downloading boos that you'll never get to listen to. So beware if you want to go on one of Phil's webpages. It may consume all of your bandwidth with MP3 files that you'll never hear. But yes, the business model, whatever it is, that's we understand that that's necessary. Somebody needs to pay the bill. And loads of really good ideas and things from people about business models and advertising and stuff. Just been listening to Paul Hopkins' VI podcast talking about that. I'm not going to get into that because I'm more interested in the change itself. So there's a new name. It will take us a while to get used to the new name. I probably carried on calling Podshow for quite a long time, even though they'd renamed themselves to Mevio. I think a lot of people were used to the Podshow name, and it took a while for them to get used to the Mevio name. So Audio Boo change themselves to whatever their new name is, however fluffed the selection process was, they've made that change. So I understand that they've decided to do that as a business, for business reasons. They've decided to do that. Fine, makes sense. And the website name goes from audioboo.com or audioboo.fm or boo.fm, and it all now redirects to audioboo.com, and that's all done on the server. And I know, because of what I know about web services, you've got two choices. You can either have a new server, which supports your new name, audioboom.com, and then have the trouble of keeping the new server in sync with the old server and all that stuff. Or you can actually support both the old name and the new name with your server. Much, much easier if you do it that way, isn't it? But it does mean that there's lots of redirects going on. So you might your browser might request something from audioboo.com and then get a response from audioboom.com, and these are sell certificates, and things need to all be consistent, otherwise alarm bells will start ringing and connections will stop happening and stuff inside your operating system and your application software, whether it's a browser or whatever. So I understand that's all quite tricky, all that stuff, there's an expensive way of doing it and there's a cheap way of doing it. Clearly, Audioboo have chosen to do it the cost-effective way. So, that's a business decision. That's the way it is. And they've chosen to take the opportunity to launch a new app at the same time the only thing that's changed is our name. They've tried to then go for a much more polished app, and with a different slant and stuff like that. And that's part of their rebranding exercise, is to have an app that looks different. And they can generate more PR in the industry and get more notice if they launch a new app at the same time as launching the new brand. So, that's all. That's business, but it means you're changing lots of things at once, and that's where the risk has come through, and the quality has let them down. So, they've changed settings on the servers, and to support and to proliferate the new domain name audioboom.com, and they've obviously launched a new app. You launch a new app, you've re-engineered it, you're going to have bugs. Completely understand that, you're going to have bugs. And so we in the Audioboo community have been talking a lot about all the bugs that we're finding. I've listened to most of the boos because I've got an RSS feed that downloads every boo that has the word Audioboom in the subject line or probably in the body as well. So I've heard a lot of boos from a lot of people I've never heard of before. There's a lot of quality issues. There's a lot of bugs that have appeared, and that's natural. You will have that whenever you... Unless you're amazingly good with your quality control and your beta testing, then you will always find bugs in your new application. So we can assume that they're bugs and that they will be fixed. And it will take a little while for them to be fixed, but they will be fixed. They're not design decisions that have been made. Audioboom have deliberately broken direct messaging. No, they haven't. They're not showing that they want to get rid of people that do direct messaging by deliberately putting a bug in the direct messaging functionality. No. It's just a fact of life that they've launched a new app. They've maybe had to rush the beta testing because of timescales, because of business timescales, promised deadlines and stuff. So maybe they've rushed some of the beta testing. But the thing that they've done, because they've chosen to change the name of the web server at the same time, is they probably added some complications in there where the beta testers were not able to test the scenario that we're now in, where they've had to change the server. So you've actually ended up changing two things at once, which is bad practice. And well, it's not bad practice, but it makes things more difficult, and it's likely to cause more problems to the service that you're providing. So you have to find whatever way you want to mitigate them to a sufficient level, and if you don't mitigate those risks, then you'll end up with noise, and that's what we're in at the moment, the noise, because it will take a while for these issues to be fixed. So not only are there issues with the new app, but the old app is not working perfectly either anymore because of the changes that they've had to make on the server, probably to support the new app, at the very least to support the new name. So the bit where it shows disdain for users is it suggests that that perhaps the private messaging, for example, and the independent recording in app as another element are not the priority for the company, perhaps, and therefore they didn't spend enough time testing the scenarios for direct messaging in the Audioboo app, and perhaps the sort of the amateur publishing elements of the app, things like the categories and stuff like that. Yeah, so that's how we detect the disdain that the company has for our usage profile and our user journeys, is that they didn't spend enough time testing those user journeys. So that's how we detect that they don't love us anymore. But what? I've forgotten what I was going to say, but... their bugs, they will get fixed. If they loved us more, then they would have tested those things beforehand. Maybe they would have decided not to change the server name at the same time as rolling out the new app. Maybe they would have spent more time thinking about how they would make the back-end communications from the app resilient to a change in server name. And maybe they would have spent more time deciding how to make the server more resilient to the app changing. All that stuff. It's all about all the things that they could do to prevent these problems from occurring, or from them being exposed to the end users in an embarrassing way. But yeah, they're just bugs. They will get fixed. Really not a good time to do it right before Octava. That's not the time when we want the apps to be buggy. That's the time when we want the app to be stable. But anyway, never mind. Coming on to the app, the couple of things I would say. First to McColgan. No, I'll come back to McColgan. RJNet. Really sorry to hear that. That you've had some of your cache of recordings of draft boos, or draft posts, I suppose we're supposed to call them now, the draft posts on your phone that are now getting corrupted in one way or another. Very sorry to hear that, and I can't believe you're being so nice about the quality of the app. And I don't think quality is the right word there. I think it's polish. I think what you're talking about, the app is, there's a lot of polish to the app, but the actual quality is a lot deeper than that. It's a lot deeper than the surface. Again, that's a scenario that they haven't tested enough. All these draft boos, what will happen to them when you move from the old app to the new app? That's poor show, that's poor quality. From Audioboo, maybe it was the right business decision. They're doing it on a shoestring. Maybe they couldn't afford to test everything, and they have to use the public as their testers to find all these issues out. Again, that's business. But I can still call it poor. They may have done it knowingly, poorly, but it's poor. It's not the first time we've seen this. So users, especially people like Arjunet and Amani Blog, we should all be warned. The Audioboo have a track record for this. They launch a new app and your draft recordings are lost. I've got a number of recordings on my phone here where I've got the version 3 app. And there's a number of recordings that are on there that won't play anymore, and they're lost forever. We have seen this before, so for goodness sake, people, if you've got important draft booze recorded on your device, make sure you back up before you upgrade. When it comes to Audioboo. Now, to me, again, this is a transition. This is an old-world software methodologies and old-world computers where before you upgrade any software, you back up your computer so that you can perform your upgrade, and then if it fails, you can go back to your backup. I know that's the old world. The new world is, with an app store, you have all these apps that will just download and they'll upgrade on the fly over the air. Your backups will be done over the air, but you don't really have that much control over them anymore. It's only the old dinosaurs like me that still plug their phone into iTunes and get the backup done locally, and then have the backup then also backed up to Time Machine. But yeah, seriously, Audioboo quality control is not up to the level to be able, for you to be able to trust them to not break your recordings when the app gets upgraded. So, if it's important to you, like it's important to me, don't switch on automatic upgrade for your applications. It's an opt-in on the Apple ecosystem. By default, it doesn't automatically upgrade. It offers it to you and says, do you want to switch it on? But you have to opt in, and you've opted in. If you've got this new Audioboo app without your permission, actually you gave your permission because you opted in to automatic updates. So be warned, you need to switch that off to protect yourself from these sorts of things if it's so important to you to have your draft booze. Be warned, be sensible, back up. I have utmost sympathy for you, RJNet, that you've lost your recordings. I really hope you've got an iTunes backup that you can restore from. You can restore the old app, you can restore the old database, and you'll have your recordings. I really hope that you've got that available to you. So, McColgan's left over. McColgan doesn't use the app. He uses a Zoom recorder and Audacity and uploads it from his Macintosh computer using the Boomail facility or using the web browser. I was there in 2005 in the early days of podcasting when we had to do all of that. Every time we wanted to do a podcast, every time I wanted to do an audio blog, I had to go through that process. I had to go through my computer. I had to upload it for a web browser. I had to create the RSS file myself originally, the XML file by hand in a text editor. It was a lot more work to get an audio blog done, an audio blog post delivered. When Audioboo came along over 5 years ago, I started using Audioboo. It revolutionised it because it made it so simple and easy to publish. Whether it's urgent or whether it's not urgent, it's very quick and easy for busy people. But yeah, of course, if you want to produce quality stereo, stuff like that, you have to go through all that issue, all that process. I understand that. Bostock Studio, if you want to do polished stuff, then you can do all that. But we shouldn't have to. We should be able to use a normal audio boot app. Thank you for listening.